Hello and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I am the said Moe of Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. It's me. Howdy do. And how are ya? How are you doing? I'm doing well, thank you for asking. If indeed you did ask, I will trust that you asked, because you seem like an awfully polite bunch. And how are ya? I know I asked that, but I ask again, because it seems like the right thing to do. It does. It does. So today is Wednesday, the 7th of May. I almost said 4022. That was random. 2025. 4022. My goodness, where did that come from? Another planet, maybe? Yes, that's it. I dwell in two different planets at once. One makes less sense than this one, if that at all was possible. Oh, goodness. Well, howdy do, and doody how. And doody how. Well, maybe that's how the show got its name. Doogie Howser, howdy do, and doody howser. So, welcome. Have a seat. Sit down for a while. Come on into the Paisley Penny Arcade. Yeah, I'm actually going to put a penny into one of the arcade gadgets today, because I want to tell you about something that's going on.
That's right.
There's something happening. What's happening? Well, it's going to be, it's actually quite cool. If you happen to live in the UK, and you happen to live in Cornwall, and you live near the town of Helston, then you really ought to go see the Helston Flora Day, which is tomorrow, by the way. It's on May 8th every year, unless it's on a Sunday or a Monday. Monday is market day, and Sunday, well, that's Sunday. And so you really ought to say to yourself, I should go there. I should go there. Go to Helston. And go to the Flora Day. What is the Flora Day? Well, it's been going on. As a matter of fact, it's considered to be one of the continuous goings-on in the UK forever that is old, really old. It's one of the oldest goings-on. It's been going on since there have been goings-on. I think it's been one of the oldest mentions of it was in a magazine in 1709 or 1790. I know there's a 9 and a 0 in there somewhere. And I know it was in the 1700s. So what is the Helston Flora Day? Well, that's the home of the Helston Furry Dance. The Helston Furry Dance. And what is a furry dance? Well, if you look up furry dancing in YouTube, and don't put Helston in, you'll see a bunch of people in outfits, in like Banana Splits. Remember the Banana Splits on TV? Or, you know, like in mascot outfits, jumping around and dancing with each other. That's not what the furry dance is in Helston. So don't be caught unawares. And sometimes those furry, and there are actually there are actually groups of people who get together, furry cons, and I don't know if that's what they call it, furry con. No, that was, actually, furry con was something completely different. Not to be discussed on this show, but that's something quite different. But they dress up as animals, as you know, furries, and they have a lot of fun in those furry outfits, and they sometimes have lots and lots of fun and other things. The furry dance is a remarkable thing where people dance through the streets of Helston in Cornwall in the UK all day long. They start at 7 in the morning. They have a dance with kids. The kids' dance is at 7 a.m. Then at noon, they have a dance with, like, the notables. And I don't know what that means, but people in there. And they wear tuxedos, and there's this band that goes through town, and they play music, and they dance through the streets of Helston. And they literally dance in and out of shops and people's homes if they want them to. And this makes it's like good luck, right? So come on in, dance through my house. And this has been going on for centuries, literally for centuries. And supposedly even longer than centuries. Yeah, what's longer than centuries? Millennia. That's what's longer than millennia. Some TV shows I watch. But yeah. And it's really kind of interesting. And they've been playing the same song, apparently, for a very, very long time. And it's called the Helston Furry Dance Song. It has a name, the Flora Song, which was given to it by somebody. And it's very cool. I mean, I would do it if I lived in Helston. Every year that I was capable of doing it, I would do it. And the men wear lilies. The lily is the flower of the Flora Day. And the men wear the lily on the left side with the flower pointing up. And the women wear the lily on the right side with the lily pointing down. Don't ask me. I don't know. I don't know. And they play this song called the Furry Dance. And the furry, you know, we could all say there's so many things it could mean. I like the idea that maybe it had to do with fairies, you know, like fairies and brownies and elves and, you know, that sort of thing. But apparently it is about fairs. Like it's a fair. It's a fair. Like a Renaissance fair. But less weird. I've been to Renaissance fairs. And they're great places to spend an incredible amount of money for stuff. You know, oh, my lord. I've known people who worked at Renaissance fairs, friends of mine. And a guy who completely stole my act, my yo-yo act, and, you know, did it in Renaissance costume, which made it, I guess, acceptable, except the yo-yo was not invented in ancient, in Old England. It was invented by the Filipinos, although actually by the Greeks, but, you know, I mean, it's been invented in a lot of places, but I had a friend of mine, a guy named Johnny Fox. What a great guy Johnny was. He's gone now. But Johnny was a sword swallower and a magician. And he was the guy who let's say, borrowed heavily from my act, because I used to be a yo-yo man, and he borrowed heavily from my act. And he invited me and got me tickets for my family and for me to come to this Renaissance festival, this Renaissance fair. So there I am watching, and I was stunned to see that he hadn't even changed a word. And he'd been doing this all summer long. You know, he'd be using he added a couple of his own tricks, which were gimmicky type things, you know. And in poor taste, I thought, but that's okay. I mean, if you're gonna do something, you know, unique, go ahead and do it in poor taste, I guess. So he was doing this, and he did my act, and he came down and said, "Well, flattery is what is that? Imitation is the most sincere form of flattery." And I was just stunned. I didn't even know what to say other than, well, I feel incredibly flattered. And I went over and saw Johnny, who was right across from him. And Johnny was such a nice guy. But he said, gee, I think about you about 4 or 5 times a day. You know? It was so good. He was really a remarkable guy, Johnny was. Sword swallower extraordinaire, and very unique fellow, good magician, excellent magician, sleight of hand, and incredibly skilled at all the things he did, and just a genuinely nice fellow, and very unique, not many people like him. That's for sure. But you go to these fairs, and I'm nothing against them, you know. Either you outlaw things that weren't of the time, or you don't, you know. And I've always kind of been amazed by what they allow and what they don't allow, and I don't know. But I knew a lady, I really liked her, who was a fortune teller, she and her daughter at those fairs. And the story she told, which I honestly, I cannot repeat because they're not suitable for radio, AM, FM, or, you know, PM or AM or anything else. So, yeah, they were just bawdy. I mean, it was like people had gone back to a time when there were absolutely no morals the way we seem to have in our government right now. But that's a different story, and I won't be, I may go there a little bit today because I'm a little wound up or keyed up or teed up or teed off. Yeah, one of those five. I'm just a little annoyed. I'm a little annoyed. We're going to talk about some of that, I guess, a little, I don't know. Some things like the number of pencils kids are going to have, or the number of dolls little girls are allowed to have, and the amazing amount of insults that one person can hurl to the world in 1 week. It's just unbelievable. But I don't know. I don't want to disguise. I don't know anyway. But the Helston Furry, the Helston Furry dance, and there's this song that they play. This band, the Helston City Band, I guess, I don't know what it's called, but I think that's it. And they play this all day long. All day long. All day long. And so back in the Paisley Penny Arcade days, when I was doing that show specifically, one of the attractions we had was Happy Jack, the musical Tar. He's a sailor, and what he is an automaton. So you put a coin in, put an English penny in. And why English pennies? Well, I don't know, just because they're big and they're the size of an American half dollar, which are also plentiful, aren't they? You just see them everywhere. So you put, you know, that's the penny arcade you would go, and there were all sorts of different things. There was I can't remember the names of a lot of these things that I had in there. There was this great lighthouse thing that was very cool. I'll see if I can, find the light switch to turn that on, where you could go and, I mean, lighthouse stuff happened, it was very realistic. And of course, you have to use your imagination, and that's why the Paisley Penny Arcade is best set for radio and not necessarily for YouTube, for television, you know. Plus, I have a face for radio. It's a very old joke, but we'll go with that. Happy Jack, I think that was his name. Maybe I should have made it Sailor Sam or, you know, who knows? Doesn't matter. Do things like that really matter? To some people, maybe they do. Not to me. But he had a concertina in his hand, and he played the song, the Helston Furry song, which I made sure wasn't copyrighted or anything like that, that he could play. So I'm going to go ahead and get up out of my chair here, and I'm wearing slippers, as I always do in the Paisley Penny Arcade, because you never know when you're going to have a spark, and there's all this weird stuff around here, psychic energy, you never know. Oh, I had the Sock Monkey Oracle, which was very strange. Long story to that, I'm not going to get into that. Some of you may be new listeners, some of you may not be listening at all. So that don't want to confuse those of you not listening. So here we are. I'm going to go over here and put a coin in. And you can hear the story of, or not the story, but at least hear the music. And now the old Happy Jack hasn't been turned on in quite a while. God, my mind. I'll just put the coin in and we'll see what happens. See if he works, okay? See if he can even play that old concertina anymore. This is what the Helston Furry song sounds like. Thank you. That's it. You know, he still works. Not bad. Not bad for a thing hooked up to stuff. You know, old pipes and drains and all that sort of thing. So that's the Helston Furry Song. And if you go there, I've heard it's unbelievable to see. Actually, I've read, because I've never met anyone who actually has been there. But if I lived in the UK, you can darn your tootin' and horn your swoggle that I would be there as often as possible. It marks the beginning of summer, the end of winter and the beginning of summer. And that's a very old concept, because that's Beltane. Beltane. Beltane's solar Beltane actually took place Monday. So happy summer to all of those of you who follow such things. Beltane observed was on the 1st. Happy summer. It rained. It's been raining for 2 solid days. The sun finally came out a little while ago here, but we've had 2 days worth of wetness. Our dog, Coco Bean, and I usually go out every afternoon, and I throw the ball, she brings it back. I throw the ball, she brings it back. I do that as often as I can until she finally looks at me and says, "Are you tired of this, old man?" And then we come inside, and she gets a treat. And we haven't been able to do that in a couple of days because of the wetness. We play inside, but it's a poor substitute for going outside and doing it, and she is going out of her mind. And so she is driving us out of our mind. Me especially. It's like, why did you bring this weather in so that we can't play? But so tomorrow for sure, you know, I'll go out and pick up all that incredibly wet poop. Which is an honor and a privilege every single time, because that's a labor of love. Those of you who have creatures in your home or outside of your home know what I mean, because it's just, it happens to be an extension of love. If you have them and you love them, you know what I'm talking about. And I know you know what I'm talking about, because that's how it goes. So the world, huh? I happen to be watching the Helston Furry Dance on the YouTube earlier today. Kind of wishing I could be there just to revel in the idea of people dancing from 7 until about 10 or 11 at night, whenever they stop it. And probably, I don't know if they go past sundown or not, but they do it until it's done. Thinking about how incredibly joyous that must be, and how fun and how much laughter and gaiety there is. And there on that, you know, that thing with all the other, you know, you're watching one thing and there's a bunch of other YouTube things below it. There was Melanie Sofka, who was, of course, one of my favorite chanteuses from the 70s and 60s. And even though she claimed she was never a hippie, she sure was the voice of hippieism, I suppose. Hippieism, I like that. A hippie-ness. And one of her songs, which was "Peace Will Come According to Plan." And So I listened to it, and I thought, my God, she passed last year, I guess it was. And what a void she has left. A voice of reason, a voice of peace. Starts off on the album with, "There's a chance peace will come in your life. Please buy one." And a lot of people wonder what that means. There was a time when you would go somewhere and there would be people hanging around selling things, you know. And I saw the sign once, "There's a chance peace will come in your life. Please buy one." And what they were selling were little, you know, things. Pencils, flags, flowers. And they were to go supposedly to a veterans, you know, fund of some sort. I kind of figured they were just going to use them themselves, use the money themselves. And I didn't care. But the whole idea was the thought, there's a chance peace will come in your life. Please buy one. And so I bought a flower because I liked the idea that that money, that, you know, quarter or 50 cents, whatever it wasn't a lot, might go to peace. Because if I bought one, maybe peace would come in my lifetime. And, man, I'm just, you know, what a thought. What a thought that, and I still would love to see peace in my lifetime. Doesn't look like it's going to happen yet, but I am an optimist and I hope that it does. I'm never going to lose hope. I have to admit, I sometimes do feel a little less than, optimistic that it's going to happen. But then I catch myself and say, you never know what's going to happen exactly. You never know how things are going to work out. I'm a lot more optimistic now about the way things have been going in this new administration than I thought I would be. You know, it's not a surprise. Those of you who listen to me know my thoughts on this. And it does seem to be going better than I anticipated it going. Although I'm not a, you know, gloom and doom sort of fellow. I've always believed in the way things can go. This is a pretty amazing system, and I don't think that it's going to fall to pieces. I believe in optimism, and I think I'd like to talk about being optimistic, about how important it is, about how vital it is not to give up on things, on how vital it is not to look the other way when things are bad, and to simply say, if I don't pay attention to it, it will go away. I think that that's the wrong thing to do. I think that optimism is based upon a healthy ability to look life right in the eye. Sure, there are times when things are really, really tough. You know, right after I listened to Melanie, the next song that came up on my music feed, after I got off of YouTube was, because then I listened to Peace Will Come, because I really wanted to hear the song again, was Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And we just passed the anniversary of the Kent State problem, which happened when I was in high school. And I thought, wow, man, does that bring back a lot of memories that were pretty bad, to be honest. Four students at Kent State were gunned down by the National Guard. I think 11 were injured, or maybe 13. I don't remember exactly how many now. Shame on me. But it was a traumatic time. I had a friend of mine who wore a shirt to school with a big target on the back that said student, and he didn't get kicked out, but they sent him home, said, you wear that again, you're going to get expelled from school. And he went on to become a doctor, you know. I mean, he was not a slouchy kid like I was, you know. He was a good kid. I led him quite astray in a couple of ways. Much too much so, I suppose. But he didn't go astray all the way astray like I did. Let's just say I was the first to take him to Fantasia, if you catch my drift. He sure caught my drift. Good movie back then. Now, good movie always, but especially in the 70s. Early 70s, Fantasia was a good movie to catch. Anyway. So it was a time of turmoil, and turmoil, I think, should be met head on with a head of steam, and to really look at it and say, okay, trouble. How do we look at trouble? We look at it as it is, realistically. And sometimes with a smile on your face, sometimes with a guffaw, you know, a big old laugh. And I think that's the role of satire. And I think that's the role of something like Saturday Night Live, which has, from its inception, made fun of presidents. That's been something that it has done from the very beginning. It hasn't always been that funny, let's face it. But, I mean, I've watched it from episode number one, and I haven't missed very many. There were some seasons I did not watch, to be honest with you, because I didn't think it was that funny. But I'm watching it now. You know, it's important to be able to laugh about the world around us. I just read a quote by Bruce Lee, and I don't remember it exactly, but it was a good quote. And it was like, don't ever say anything bad about yourself, even in humor. So self-deprecating humor is out, because the body does not know the difference. And I thought, wow, that is fascinating to think about, because I'm always a big one for self-deprecating humor. And I've probably paid the price for it, if that's true, if what he said was true. Maybe he was. Maybe he was right about that, that we should never, ever put ourselves down. But humor is a very important part of life. We have to be able to laugh at what's going on, or else we would cry all the time, and we'd freak out. I try not to freak out about things. People who get too into it, and a lot of people do get too into it, they get weighed down. They get stressed out to the max, and that doesn't do you any good. I'm convinced of that. You can become overwrought. And, you know, that term overwrought is very important. It has to do with metallurgy. Metallurgy is the basis of alchemy in the old days, one of the basics. You come through that. And I know from that, because my first year of college, I took a jewelry class, making jewelry. And they sat us down and said, now make jewelry at this little anvil. And you've got a hammer, and you've got a hunk of this, which in my case was some brass. And I made a rather pretty Eye of Horus, which I wish I had. Got lost in a move. It was a little off balance, but it was gorgeous. I wish I had it. I would wear it. You know, I'd figure out how to balance it out, and I would wear the thing. It was big, gaudy, but I liked it. Really, really nice. And that worked out okay. That was just fine. Then I was going to make myself a cup and ball set for magic. You know, the old cup and ball set. And the guy kind of tried to talk me out of it, but not altogether. And I learned about that you have to anneal metal. You pound it out, and then you have to douse it, and you have to heat it and douse it and all of this. And I overwrought the metal, like wrought iron, right? You work the iron, you work the metal. I was working these brass cups. And frankly, it became so overwrought that the brass became incredibly brittle and just began to break and just shatter. And it was completely useless after a while, and it became a nightmare. So twice a week, I would go in there and destroy these brass cups that I was working on that I wish he had been a little more helpful, you know. But I learned an incredible amount about symbolic alchemy. Because later on, when I was studying symbolic alchemy, I was able to utilize what I had learned with these metals. You know, the study of steel, like Damascus steel, and those sorts of things were always layered into, pun intended, were always layered into alchemy, the study of spiritual alchemy and magic. because magic is based on, well, the study of magic is not based upon it, but as above, so below. So there are corollaries in all of this stuff. You learn one thing and you begin to understand that it applies to other things as well. So that's kind of the wonder of it all. When you open any door, regardless of how nonsensical it may seem, it all pretty much jives, and you're in the same place. You know, you kind of go, oh, I get this because I understand this. That's the wonder of metaphysics. That's the beauty of the metaphysical realm, is that studying tarot is studying alchemy, is studying astrology, is studying any other aspect of the work. And it becomes fascinating because you can look at a hand and you're looking at a hand and suddenly you see something you recognize from something else you've studied. And you think, oh man, I know this. I get this. But you have to work with it for a while for things to fall into place in that way. But trust me, with enough work, with enough diligence, with enough sincerity, the door opens and you are admitted in. And I think there's a great truth in that. And that is that the sincerity part is valuable. If you are sincere, the door opens to you and you are admitted. That's the thing I will repeat, okay? You are admitted. If you aren't sincere, then hang it up. Unfortunately, what we're seeing today in society, in our government, in some ways, are people who are not sincere. Think about that for a second. I'm thinking about it for a second. People who are suddenly given an immense amount of power, who have sought it not for the sincere desire to help others, to truly help other people to live better lives, to strengthen the good of the world, but rather to exercise their own power. Now, these people are in a position to really change the world for the better. And look at the chaos that has been unleashed in not only our country, but in other countries as well. Look at the world in general and the chaos that is beginning to kind of pop up everywhere. I mean, look, India and Pakistan are at it. Now, that's really dangerous if you think about it, right? But don't get too excited. I think things will calm down. I hope, I pray, you know. But we can look and see that when you have people without sincerity, and that's what I believe we are experiencing, are people who are trying to do one thing, essentially, and that is line their own pockets with cash. In one form or another. And self-gain. Self-gain is not what government is about. Government, and that, you know, for example, entertainers. When I was entertaining, and I guess that's what, I guess you could say what I used to do. For example, I used to do balloon animals. I was working for Parks and Recreation District, right? It was about people's wellness and their ability to better themselves. And so they hired me to work these fairs, these wellness fairs, they called them. And they had hot dogs that they served to people for free, but they were healthy hot dogs, quote unquote. And there was a group there and Barry and the Rainbows. Barry was a great guy. We always got along. And he even wrote a song about me, you know, Mighty Mo the Yo-Yo Pro, and I'd do yo-yo tricks and he'd sing the song and I would do tricks and I would do balloon animals. And so once I started doing balloon animals, every kid on the planet wanted one of those balloon animals. And I realized that I had a duty to make a balloon animal for every kid who wanted one. That's the way it was. You couldn't say no to a kid who wanted a balloon animal, especially if his brother or sister or his friend had gotten one and he or she hadn't. You had to do it. It was just because you don't want, and I had kids, and they were young at the time, and I knew that they, you know, you can't say no to these kids. You just can't do it. So I would sometimes stand there, and I only got paid for the gig. So I was getting paid for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, and it wasn't a bunch, you know, it was like for the gig. And sometimes I would be twisting balloons for, I don't know, 6 hours. But it didn't matter to me because I didn't want a single kid to leave crying or upset. That's what entertainment is about, I think. When you entertain, your goal is to raise the level of someone's life, you hope. You don't want to bum them out or make them so miserable with your with your act, you know. You want to show them something in a way that really, really does something for them. A kid that I met when I was about, I don't know, I was that age. I was in my 30s. A kid who was 16, a kid named John Higby, is now one of the best yo-yoers in the world and is this great entertainer. And he travels around the world doing this amazing stuff. You should look him up, John Higby. And he's an incredible entertainer. And I'm so proud of him, because he says I was his inspiration. And I'm like, wow. And what greater joy can there be in life than to inspire someone and to help them? This is why I was a reader for as long as I've been reading, you know. I'm taking some time off now in my dotage. I probably will come back to it at some point, but I did it because I could. I did it because I could. We are here on this planet, I feel, to help. To help. And right now, I'm helping my wife. That's my duty right now, is to help her as much as I can. But we are here to help others. And so when it becomes more important for us to help ourselves only, to make it about us, And we get lost. I've been lost in the past where I've thought, you know, I don't know. I think I've always put my kids first when they were young and they needed me to do that. Now they have their own families and, you know, they don't need me much except to be around when they need me, you know, and I'm always available for them when they need me. But we as human beings should be available for those who need us, I believe, if we can be. Sometimes we have to say no, right? Sometimes we have to have boundaries. I've had to have boundaries in my life. Boundaries are the most important thing there is for us, because if we don't have boundaries, then we're not going to exist after a while. We'll be just worn away like a little nub, and we can't afford that. We have to be able to maintain our boundaries. But when we have groups of people, and it happens all the time, groups of people who are in it for themselves alone, and the people that they're supposed to be helping are the prey. The people that they're supposed to be helping are the energy source, instead of the ones that they're supposed to energize, then there's a problem. And they may prosper for a while. They may do just fine for a while. But you know what I know, that it's not going to work forever. It's not going to last, because such systems are essentially doomed. Doomed. Doomed, I say. Doomed, I say. They can't. they can't possibly be maintained, because that is not the natural order of humanity. Humanity is based upon leaders who work for the betterment of the tribe, of the village, of the global village. Here's a guy who loves to talk about his golden toilet, telling people your kid can only have two pencils or two dolls or whatever. You know, here's a guy who has marble columns in his house. I mean, here's a guy who owns, what, 16 golf courses? I'm sorry, but he owns his own private jet airplane. Hey, he owns casinos. I don't know if he still does. And that's his private worth. He's a billionaire. And he's talking to people saying, suck it up. Suck it up. Is this the way to talk to people who are living paycheck to paycheck? This is a lack of compassion. And unfortunately, other people are beginning to act in this way as well. You've seen it. I know you have. You've probably seen it. I've seen it. People are acting with a lack of compassion. And I have to be honest, it really disturbs me, because I think that the most important thing that we can have is compassion. One of the most important things we can have. As human beings, compassion is exactly what we should have. Especially if you're a leader, you need to show compassion to people, you know, and you need to honor truth, and you need to show that you believe in it, and that you're not afraid to look truth once again right in the eye and say that is the truth, instead of constantly ducking the truth and passing the buck. Harry S. Truman famously had on his desk a placard that said, "The buck stops here." He took responsibility for everything. And how about compassion for people? Where does the buck stop with this group of people? With us. Everything is someone else's fault. Everything someone else's fault. I don't see compassion. I don't see a willingness to take responsibility. I don't see personal strength. I don't see gumption. A woman who shot a dog and a goat. I think she used a Glock. You know, shot a dog. I mean, you know, come on. Did you hear? I don't want to see dangerous territory for me. The inhumanity in Oklahoma that happened with a woman and her teenage daughters, or her young daughters, I don't know if they're teenage, going into her house and in the middle of the night, unannounced, breaking in, you know, boom, 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 or coming in, taking her money, taking her laptops, all their electronic equipment, making the woman and her daughters go out in the rain in their underwear. And it was the wrong people. They had a warrant for the wrong people. I don't think she has her stuff back yet. Maybe she will get it soon. They said they were this group or that group or whatever group, and no one is taking responsibility yet for who did this. And it was a government organization. That's a government without compassion. Now, eventually, we have to say to ourselves, where is the compassion here? See, and the government is us. I said I wasn't going to go here. But man, that really made me mad. Because that can happen to you and it can happen to me. Now, I have a foreign name. I've had a foreign name all my life. The first time someone told me to go back where I came from, I was in the fifth grade. It was a girl. And she told me, why don't you need to go back where you came from? And I was like stunned. Fifth grade. I was hurt. And I said, what are you talking about? I was raised in this country. She said, that's not where you're from. I said, I was born in England. And she said, well, go back home. We don't want you here. And I thought, what is that about? You know? And she was a nemesis to me. She'd been one for a while, but she was a nemesis to me all through school, you know? And you think, what is that about? And that's training. That's not her. That's her training. And sure enough, I found out it was her training. I won't get into it. But the point of this is for me to say that we have to change things. We can do it by our optimism. We can do it by our thoughts. We can do it by writing letters. We can do it by opening our mouths. But we can also do it by not losing hope. That's one of the most important aspects there is. The minute we throw up our hands and say, well, that's it. That's it. My wife constantly asks me, do you think things are going to be okay? And I say it and I mean it. And I'm being honest with her. I say, they're going to be fine. Because I wouldn't tell her that, you know, some fairy tale story if I didn't believe it. And I don't mean it's a fairy tale. It's going to be okay, but it's not going to be easy. Because for some bizarre reason, here's where we are. And this is just like alchemy. This is just like a tarot deck. You've got cards in a tarot deck that are downright miserable. You know, you've got the Nine of Swords, cruelty. You know, you've got the Seven of Discs, failure. It's like, come on, I don't want to draw these cards. Well, then don't use tarot. Then don't do it. You've got a square in your chart? Hey, sorry, that's the way it is. You've got Mars square Venus? Then stay away from relationships. Right? No. You do what you can. You know what you need to do. You look it straight in the eye and you live with it and you deal with it, but you don't back down. You don't back down. My relationships have not been easy. I will tell you that right now. I'm a hopeless, total romantic. I am a believer in love. When I fall as hard as a piano from a five-story building. And I fall just in that many pieces, too. Kabong! And I love it. I love the feeling of being in love. And I miss it when it goes away. I love that passion. I love that sense of total helplessness. And when it's gone, and I keep it for a long, long time until, you know, one day, et tu, Brute, you know? and you realize, damn, is it that real? Oh. And I still love after that moment. I had a dream the other night that I was with two friends of mine. And when I woke up, I realized, God, they're both dead. They're both dead. And both of them had kind of betrayed me in real life. One had totally betrayed me in real life. But I still love him. As a friend, I still... You know, he was like a brother to me for a long, long time before I realized that he wasn't that great in many ways. That he really had done something he should not have done as a brother, you know? And yet still, I have those close of feelings to him. And honestly, don't we need to forgive? Shouldn't we forgive? Honestly, there was a part of me that thought, did I go see those guys? Because they were, it's almost like they didn't see me. It was a weird thing. That led me to a whole strange spiral of thought. I don't want to go there, you know. Not yet, anyway. But what are you going to do? But I think it's up to us. We who are not afraid of truth. We who are not afraid of life. What is there to be afraid of in life? Well, we've had hard times. I've had hard times. You've had hard times. If we haven't had hard times, we haven't lived honestly. We haven't faced reality. I went with a girl for 6 months that nobody liked. Honestly, I didn't even like her. But it was a convenient relationship. I was lonely. I think she was lonely. It was what it was. I knew the whole time. I think she knew the whole time. I'm not proud of it. I was 19 or 20. You know, have you ever had a relationship like that? And she kept saying she was going to kill me, you know. And one day I realized, I think she may be serious, you know. So you do what you have to do. You realize that you've been taking the easy way out. And you just step up. And you say, I can't do this anymore. This is not good for me. This is not the right way to do things. This is not good for me. And it certainly wasn't good for her. Actually, it may have been good for her, because it fulfilled a fantasy that she had. And I was a young idiot. I'm an older idiot, I guess. But the point is, we eventually look life in the eye directly and say, I love you, even though life is tough. And even though it's hard, and even though it's filled with pain, and even though it's filled with confusion, none of this is easy. None of this makes sense. You know, I'm not happy with the way things are going. But it's fascinating. And I've said this before, I'm into history, and this is absolutely amazing stuff. Sure, I'd rather it wasn't like this. But wow, what an incredible, incredible thing to see in my lifetime. You know, my friend who died in February, he's not going to see this outcome. Maybe he will. I don't pretend to know what's really going on in the world, or in the afterworld. But I get to be here now, and so do you. We're here together. So let's live this life. Let's live it and enjoy it and look it right in the eye and sometimes spit in the eye. You know? This is our life. This is not someone else's. Remember that song, Sunshine Go Away Today? Who did that song? I don't remember. Sunshine Go Away Today. I don't feel much like dancing. He can't run his own life. I'll be damned if he can run mine. Well, something like that. Yeah. We are doing just fine. And we'll continue to do fine. We've got the tools. We've got tarot, astrology, I Ching, runes. We've got a lot on our side. And we've got each other. I'm right here. I'll be right here next week. And until next week, I want to wish you all peace and love. Thanks for listening to the rant. I love you all. And I'll be here. Talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2,